life area involves your life, my life. It involves our families. There's no one untouched, ultimately, about whether...
Silent treatment. Hello. Hey. That's our girl again. Girl again.
Thank you.
Without exception.
Témoignages affligés et affligeants.
Témoignages.
Not to use IBM's
horrid tunnel in compiling lists of European Jews and Roma, that German bureaucrats used IBM machinery to improve the efficiency of the so-called final solution. In its defense, the U.S. computer giant has argued that it lost control of its German subsidiary, Techomag, before World War II began in 1939. In 2001, Jewish Holocaust survivors dropped their case against IBM, similar to that.
Everybody has this mob right here. Before a person is born, you know, God shows them everything, shows them heaven and everything. But when they get ready to be born, God doesn't want them to remember any of that.
Cars, nothing on you. Your starts. You aren't being very specific. Now where you're buying.
I'll try to be more specific. Ready for the next one?
Shoot.
Answer as quickly as you can. How old is a person born in 1928?
Man or woman?
Why? Specifics, Bob. Okay, one more time. How old is a man born in 1928?
I wasn't planning on killing him, but plans change.
If a man is born in 1928 and he's still alive, how old is he?
What month?
If a man was born October 3rd, 1928, and he's still alive...
And German businesses, whose representatives have publicly stated that the IBM lawsuit threatened the conditions of that court. IBM has contributed $3 million to the German compensation fund.
Ah, the lips, the gateway of your voice, the portal through which sounds pass.
Well, is he?
What time?
10 o'clock.
Where?
Portals. Let's talk about portals. Doorways. If you want to get out of a building and go outside and the door is closed, can you go through the door without opening it? I don't think so. You have to open that door.
Well, let's get specific, Bob. I mean, if the guy's still alive, born in California, October 3rd, 1928, 10 p.m., he's 67 years, 9 months, 22 days, 14 hours, and 12 minutes.
Forget about the questionable morality that it's okay for 3,000 people to die because of something that the United States hadn't done yet. It seems that the rest of the world has to ask itself a question. Well, you know, what are our motives, and what is, you know, what is America's motive? There has to be more analysis than less emotion.
Okay, Jennifer. So, an angel touches. It touched me, it touched everybody before they're born into. And everybody has this little mark. He says that's what it is.
industrial restoration of 1868. For although Ieyasu himself died in 1616, members of his family succeeded each other, and the title shogun became virtually an hereditary one for the Tokugawas. Ieyasu was determined to ensure his and his family's dictatorship. To this end, he paid lip service to the emperor in Kyoto, who remained the titular head of Japan, while curtailing his duties and involvement in the government. The real threat to Ieyasu's position could only come from the lords, and he effectively decreased their opportunities for revolt by devising schemes whereby all lords had to live in Edo for alternate years and by placing great restrictions on traveling.
It's the angel touches the child before they're born, so they won't remember.
Oh, hello.
Born in New York, he's 3 hours older now, isn't he?
I've been having nightmares lately also. I had one recently about my toes, where I dreamt that the second toe was longer than the big toe. And I know that some people have this, so I'm not making fun. I mean, it was really longer, like about an inch and a half, which for me is an unprecedented toe growth spurt. So I complained. In the dream, I complained to my father, who says, no problem, goes to the kitchen, comes back with a big knife. I don't know why I trusted him. He lines my feet up next to each other and just chops the toes right off. And it hurt. So I said, ah!
The most Jewish-looking one in the group plays the Nazi.
Are you attracted to her?
Come on, she's old enough to be my mother. Oh, Jesus Christ, it's an expression. Don't cream yourself.
Tito, wait, Tito!
Thanks for coming to my party, man.
Happy birthday, kid.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. 37.
It's fun.
They wouldn't use rhymes. It's like, if you could imagine, it'd be like a dark room or a gym,
and it's like smoky because everybody was smoking everything from cigarettes to whatever, you know. And they be playing the music, and then it'll all be echo chamber. So they'd be like, rock, 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 free, free, free. You know, it just, right. It was like more or less like kind of a psychedelic kind of thing because everything they said, it was echoes, you know. And this is why they call me the Shoe Machine Shock, y'all. You know, it was like all this echoing. And you walk in there, you'd be like dumbfounded because it's like you just stepped into another world, you know what I mean? And there's all these dark figures around and smoke, and, you know, it was like awesome. You know, for us, it was like a rush, you know, just stepping into these parties.
Thanks for that. Let me read you an email from one of your fellow countrymen. Our military capabilities are so overwhelming that it could be done in short order and on a global scale. The rest of the world should be thankful that the U.S. embraces democracy and doesn't have aspirations.
Stated, say, in the creed, Roman is Empire. A fervent hope.
Simply Roman told that military power is clearly
thus and so. And in this sense, therefore, belief precludes the possibility of faith. Because faith is openness to truth, to reality, whatever it may turn out to be. I want to know the truth. That is the attitude of faith. And therefore, to use ideas about the universe and about God as something to hang on to in the spirit of Rock of Ages cleft for me. You know, hymnal imagery is full of rocks. A mighty fortress is our God. In vain the surges, angry shock, in vain the drifting sand, unharmed upon the eternal rock, the eternal city stands. And there's something very rigid about a rock. And we are finding our rock getting rather worn out in an age where it becomes more and more obvious that our world is a floating world.
People say racing is dangerous, but I'll take my chances on the track. Any day than on a highway.
Absolutely, thought alone can completely change the body.
Most people don't affect reality in a consistent, substantial way because they don't believe they can.
If you accept with every rudiment of your being that you will walk on water, will it happen? Yes, it will. But you know, it's like positive thinking. It's a wonderful idea, positive thinking. But what it usually means is that I have a little smear of positive thinking covering a whole mass of negative thinking. So thinking positive is not really thinking positive, it's just disguising the negative thinking that we have.
That light?
Kind of light.
There was a noise. Did you hear it?
Oh.
Could we finish the game, George?
It was like an explosion, and it was a flash.
Like a plane?
No, it was bigger than that. It was farther away.
Oh, you mean like a star, George?
Man, it knocked me off my feet.
Fell?
Yeah, I fell. I was.
The man's inebriated.
I warn you.
I'm not drunk, mate.
I'm taking you to Queen George. Now pay attention.
That checkmate? That's checkmate, isn't it?
You mean he beat you?
Let him win, Doc. Birthday present.
I didn't let him win anything.
You're a little pissed off about that, aren't you?
Play another one?
You can get your revenge on me tomorrow, all right?
You feeling okay?
Yep.
Can you drive George?
Yeah, I'm all right. Hey. Thanks, everybody.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday, George.
That was a good party.
Perkins would scrape much more than 20%.
As low as that?
Oh, yes. Especially with Simon. His marking tends to be rather harsh.
That's strange. Simon Snow told me Perkins got 61%.
61%? Perkins? That's impossible. Absolutely impossible.
It's something of a shock, I take it.
Shock? It's just not credible.
Look, perhaps you'd better go to see the High Master without me. After all, I've never even met the man, and, well, this seems hardly the moment to effect an introduction.
Yes, you're probably right.
Would it help if I were to break the news to Fielding for you? At least I have met him.
Yes, it would. I'd be grateful. You know Fielding's house?
Well,
the path brings us out just behind the squash course. Now, Fielding's house is just 100 yards beyond on the left. You'll see the lights.
I'm sure I'll find it. Thank you.
Yes. Smiley.
Yes?
Are you sure about Perkins? 61%?
Well, I may have made a mistake.
Talk to me! Mommy, this is the kind of shit that you talk to me about all day.
But, you know, this is a really difficult film to do commentary on because there's so much about it. There's the personal aspect. There's the severing of the personal aspect while kind of having to justify myself as a filmmaker. And then aside from that, there's the densely technical aspect of the film. I had a fantasy of having three different commentary tracks, but I don't know if that was in the budget, so I'm...
What's that tattoo mean?
Their pleasure and pain.
So which do you like more?
Well, you can't have pleasure without a little pain.
Do you like them, like, mixed together?
Yeah. Because when you go out in the world, there's that feeling that at any time, you can be violated. Anytime.
Apartment became very dirty.
Oh, that's all.
And I fell out.
How are you feeling?
Fine.
Good. You look beautiful.
Thank you.
Stay back.
Okay, don't you have to? You're shaking it. You're gonna drop my camera.
14. It's my fault. I talk funny because, you know, I'm just my family. Okay. It's a pumpkin. Tell it's a pumpkin. I need to eat a pumpkin, baby. I swear to God, this is a pumpkin. Smile, you're on candid camera today.
Physics. Harry Geiserman here. Sort of riding sidecar. On the power drive. We're always so familiar with that power derived linear accelerator subtractor substitute for the ever opening bud of the all encompassing opening, so open it's even behind. Substituted for. Kind of a sad story in the world today. It's a sad matrix. Way beyond macho. It's macho in every dimension. And then come around again. New metaphysics. We'll follow it around for a while. Make sure our bill is in order. Don't overpay. Carry at newmetaphysics.com. A little of that email that was invented by some of those guys who got around on sort of the anti-mob way out west. So far west, you wouldn't believe it.
Another one bites the dust.
Around. even beyond math with these people already.
Because you were giving me that look, and I got all wet.
You know what I mean.
Why not you?
I'm a guy. I mean, you're attracted to girls.
I see you've been taking notes. Historically, yes, that's true.
And why this?
Well, I've given that a lot of thought, you know. I mean, now that I'm being ostracized by my friends, I've had plenty of time to think about it. And what I've come up with is really simple. I came to this on my own terms. You know, I didn't just heed what I was taught. Men and women should be together. It's the natural way. That kind of thing. I'm not with you because of what family, society, life tried to instill in me from day one. The way the world is, how seldom it is that you meet that one person who just gets you. It's so rare. My parents didn't really have it. There were no examples set for me in the world of male-female relationships. And to cut oneself off from finding that person, to immediately half your options by eliminating the possibility of finding that one person within your own gender, that just seems stupid to me.
Consciously create my day the way I want it to happen.
Where'd you get that tattoo?
Where?
What is it?
Knew that it would come again at the end of the last movement, after a long passage which Madame Verdurin's pianist always skipped. There were in this passage some admirable ideas which Swan had not distinguished on first hearing the sonata, and which he now perceived as if they had, in the cloakroom of his memory, divested themselves of their uniform disguise of novelty. Swan listened to all the scattered themes which entered into the composition of the phrase as its premises enter into the inevitable conclusion of a syllogism.
Now, sometimes, because my mind is examining all the things that I need to get done, it takes me a little bit to settle down and get to the point of where I'm actually intentionally creating my day. But here's the thing, when I create my day, and out of nowhere, little things happen that are so unexplainable. I know that they are the process or the result of my creation, and the more I do that, the more I build a neural net in my brain that I accept that that's possible. It gives me the power and the incentive to do it the next day.
He was assisting at the mystery of its birth.
It's a world floating in space where all positions are relative and any point may be regarded as the center.
Consider the book to be autobiographical?
Is everything autobiographical? I mean...
Ciders for idiots. How do they drink it? How do geniuses drink it? What's the difference?
Here's Roger. George, can I have my Bronco back? I don't have any cash right now, but I need my car.
Well, I need some solar panels installed on my roof.
I don't know anything about solar.
Well, Charlie Shepard does, and he needs a well dug on his property. You help him dig the well, he'll help me with the panels, and I'll fix your car. Deal?
Yeah, deal. I'll call Charlie.
Hi. I just called about fixing my brakes.
Oh, yeah, I'll be right with you. Tito, atiende al señor. Estoy ocupado, con Aldo. A que vos con este después.
What? Tito, you speak Spanish better than I do now.
Yeah, better than me too.
Geniuses do it intellectually, but they still drink it. Oh, yes. You stated confidently that it is only for idiots. There is a profound difference between an apple cider idiot and just any old idiot.
My love for vinyl and for the turntables probably came about when I was old enough to sort of start looking into turntables and stuff of that nature. Sort of take apart electrical items in my mother's house, including turntables, just to figure out how they work and why they work. And my intention was to put it back together properly, but I just could not do it. But I just had this thing where I just had to know how the inside of a turntable worked, how the inside of a radio worked, and how my father's stereo. And that's probably where it really started. Just like I had this undying interest.
Is the BBC.
I'm fine.
Mr. Stott, mood music, please.
The J.
Comedy Goons present a play entitled In Three Parts. Part one is entitled
I'll never forget that terrible sound, listeners. Perhaps you'd better hear it again. It started back in 1889.
Where'd you get that tattoo?
It was the worst storm they'd ever known in the Dolomites. I, Lord Seagoon, daredevil fretwork champion, was lost with my servants on the side of a precipitous mountain in a horse-drawn motor car.
This reminds me
of... Why have we stopped, O'Brien?
I think the horse must be tired, sir.
Why?
He's got his pajamas on, begotta.
If we're out in nature and we see a sunset, there's this incredible sense of awe at nature. Nature is magical because we don't really understand that either, and it's beautiful, and it evokes an emotional response.
Do you consider the book to be autobiographical?
Well, I mean, isn't everything autobiographical? I mean, we all see the world through our own tiny keyhole, right? I mean, I always think of Thomas Wolfe. You know, have you ever seen that little one-page note to reader in the front of Look Homeward, Angel? Right? You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, he says that we are the sum of all the moments of our lives, and that anybody who sits down to write is going to use the clay of their own life, that you can't avoid that. So when I look at my own life, you know, I have to admit, right, that I've never been around a bunch of guns or violence, you know, not really. No political intrigue or a helicopter crash, right? But my life, from my own point of view, has been full of drama, right? And so I thought if I could write a book that could capture what it's like to really meet somebody. You know, I mean, one of the most exciting things that's ever happened to me, right, is to really meet somebody, make that connection. And if I could make that valuable, you know, to capture that would be the attempt. Or did I answer your question?
I'll try to be more specific. Were there ever a French young woman on a train you met and spent an evening with?
See, to me, that's not important, you know?
So that's a yes.
All right, since I'm in France and this is the last stop of my book tour, yes.
Mr. Wallace, the book ends on an ambiguous note. We don't know. Do you think they get back together in 6 months? Like they promise each other?
Like they promised? I think how you answer that, you know, is it's a good test, right? If you're a romantic or a cynic. I mean, you think they get back together, right? You don't, for sure. And you hope they do, but, you know, you're not sure. That's why you're asking the question.
And do you think they get back together? I mean, did you in real life?
Did I in real... Look, in the words of my grandfather, okay, to answer that would take the piss out of the whole thing.
Oh, no.
We just have the time for one last question.
What is your next book?
Falling in love can be magical. Doing drugs can be magical. Rainbows are magical. All kinds of things are magical. Not all things that are magical are good for you. But I think many of us, especially those of us that study the occult or astrology, kind of have this fascination with fantasy or this addiction to this idea.
Get that tattoo. What is it? You got any other tattoos?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me see your pussy. Wow. That's a cute little pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you pull those panties aside so we can really see it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How old are you?
21.
What's that tattoo mean?
Your pleasure and pain.
So which do you like more?
Well, you can't have pleasure without a little pain.
Do you like them, like, mixed together?
Yeah.
Magical thing. And the trick with magic is how do you take the magic and go into reality?
Most of the problems that religion and various philosophical movements down through the centuries have produced have been errors, because that's where they started, that God is a distinct, separate being from us, to whom I must offer worship, whom I must cultivate, humor, please, and hope to attain a reward from at the very end of my life. That is not what God is. That is a blasphemy.
So what is your name?
Haley Young.
So do you know what you're here for today, Haley?
That's the ultimate trick, and that's really difficult.
As much to do with my making up my mind to run for president as anything.
Uh-huh.
What?
I'm going to get 4 cocks. I get to suck them all.
Expose me to something different. So here we get a peek at how Clinton's life has been shaped by these elitists and how he signed on with them, and the national media, as usual, doesn't want to discuss it.
And I get to get fucked. All the other guys are coming on my face.
There have been so many books written about Bill Clinton. This is not a Clinton-bashing program, per se. We're trying to point out things that are a matter of record and let the people make their own decisions. But he is a man who many feel is being left in office, certainly was put in office, with full knowledge of his background, to the extent that it is misdirection. It keeps people focused on Clinton's excesses and shortcomings, as well as his wife's and so forth, while the real dirty work is being done with the other hand behind the backs of the American public.
Audacity, he exclaimed to himself, has inspired, perhaps as a Lavoisier's or an Ampère's, the audacity of a Vinteuil-making experiment, discovering the secret laws that govern an unknown force. Driving across a region unexplored towards the one possible goal, the invisible team in which he has placed his trust and which he never may discern.
Wow. You seem kind of excited.
I am.
Okay, stand up. Show us your butt. Wow, how much do you weigh?
98.
Wow, you're tiny, huh? Show us your ass, Haley. Let's see. Wow, you're so tiny. Look at my hand. I could put your whole ass in one hand, Haley. So what kind of sex do you like?
I like rough sex.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a girl here just before, and she was saying that, and then she got kind of upset when they were rough with her.
I love it. I like being choked and spanked.
You hear that, guys?
Smacked around.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, get down on your knees.
I have no respect for Clinton as an individual, as a president, but I don't really go out of the way when I lecture, etc., to attack him specifically, because our entire political institution has been corrupted.
Yeah, good morning to you, too. You got it?
Jesus, you are a fucking trip.
I'm JT, by the way. This is fucking Pulp Fiction. Am I supposed to be afraid?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
You're really being a prick, huh? I told you, I need more time. I don't have the money.
Then fucking get it.
Chris, you know me. What could you possibly do to me that I haven't already been through?
I'm positive we'll think of something.
Oh, my God!
Bill Clinton was removed from office. We'd all be in ecstasy for a few days. And then there's Al Gore, member of the Council on Foreign Relations. The same with the entire cabinet. The same with Gingrich.
One personal opinion on gender. That just seems stupid to me. So I did. But then you came along.
Guys, you heard her. So don't let the poor girl down. She came all the way from Florida to be spanked and choked and fucked around. We don't want her to be disappointed with California, man.
Okay, and society is a very tiny part of the full spectrum of the universe.
Oh, I think we're lost, Mike.
Tut, what a nuisance. Well, this is not what it makes. We'll spend the night here. I'll sleep in the ditch, and you sleep standing up holding an umbrella over me. Unroll my brass bedstead and erect my marble washstand. Abdul?
What do you want to operate?
Before I retire, prepare a 9-16 course banquet.
I go and connect the gas stove up to the horse, Uri.
Mind you get the right end this time. William, lay on my evening dress.
You wear evening dress in this rain and mud, Mike.
Yes. Remember, all of you, we are British. Together. If it's
right.
Good. Next, hoist a small Union Jack and unveil a bust of Queen Victoria. Now, I'll just make a rough Englishman lunch in the mountainside menu. Brown winter soup. Meat, two veg, cabinet pudding boiled and jam.
There you go. You're such a bitch. Such a little bitch.
The States get most of the attention, although they're pretty exciting after all. Still, it comes back to actual development and evolution.
Back to actual development through the higher levels, and not just a peak experience at those higher levels.
That's right. As the self unfolds, slops and blobs on up the spiral, the self center of gravity will tend to organize itself around a predominant higher basic level. It will tend to identify its center of gravity with this level. This will be its home base, its major fulcrum, around which it will organize most of its perceptions, its moral responses, its motivations, its drives, and so on. Thus, its center of gravity tends to shift through these higher basic spheres of consciousness with an averagely identifiable sequence.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? If thoughts can do that to water, Imagine what our thoughts can do to us.
Have you ever thought about what thoughts are made of? Is there a substance of thought?
I guess it just depends on what you think is real.
The world being possible timelines of reality until we choose.
Are all realities in the quantum field existing simultaneously?
There literally are different worlds in which we live. There's the macroscopic world that we see. There's the world of our cells. There's the world of our atoms. There's the world of our nuclei. These are each totally different worlds. They have their own language. They have their own mathematics. They're not just smaller. Each is totally different. But they're complementary. Because I am my atoms, but I am also my cells. I'm also my macroscopic physiology. It's all true. They're just different levels of truth. The deepest level of truth uncovered by science and by philosophy is the fundamental truth of unity. At that deepest subnuclear level of our reality, you and I are literally one. One. One.
Too much makeup, it makes me look like a whore, so I'm sorry. Hi. Oh, I told you my name. My testimony is about me and my little baby, Caroline. I've been through hell. I'm kind of nervous here in front of you all. What a year, you know, 1969, modern day housewife for me. It all started when Jimmy was coming home late at night, getting into alcohol, and I was pregnant with Caroline and still gaining the pounds. She's 2 years old now, healthy baby. He used to beat me when he'd come home drunk at night. He used to beat me. And he used to, when he was smoking that dope, that's what got to him, to the brain there. And I can't stop. This really hard for me. One night he got up the gun. I was tied up on the bed. And pointed it to my head and said, "I'll kill you, bitch. I'll kill you." It's the other way around. I I got out the gun one night, blew his ass away.
Physics makes me want to slur my words and speak backwards. New metaphysics. Slur my words and speak backwards.
In the realms of the unreal, innocence lives in the constant shadow of danger.
Maybe 5'4", 5'5".
He was poor.
We all called him Henry Darger.
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 What the old janitor did in this room, no one knew. Only upon his death did anyone discover the work.
Volume 1 of the story of the Vivian Girls and what is known as the realms of the unreal.
Henry Darger left behind journals, an autobiography, hundreds of paintings, many of them over 10 feet long.
Society is tiny. Isn't it obvious when you turn on the television, all it needs is one big hurricane to smash everything, that civilization? Nature is enormous and fascinating. It's huge. It gives you a sense of the metaphysical.
Do it. Oh, yeah. All of it's perfect, bro.
Yeah, that's it. Get your head back.
In the old days, before there were books, people would get together and sing the ballads, and then they would add, someone in the audience would add
a verse,
and it was
more spontaneous.
And, you know, spontaneously collected by the ballad singers. And this, I think, is wonderful in a way, and I think part of the terrific success of, say, Bob Dylan at his best, and I think his real Voight at his best, mm-hmm. too, was that it was the simple singing words again, and not the over-intellectual poetry, which is so difficult for so many people, including me, to really understand mm-hmm. at all, mm-hmm. you know. And it's a spontaneous singing thing, and people have always responded to it, and I guess they always will.
Oh,
Socrates is dialogue. That is what made Socrates so engaging. In fact, the great theologian, thinker of existentialist ideas, Søren Kierkegaard, wrote his doctoral dissertation on the concept of irony in Socrates. And it is fundamental to an understanding of Socrates that he will say things frequently that are meant to be taken seriously in the sense that they make you think. And that's something that's put in a very forceful fashion. Perhaps even at the complete opposite of what you believe, then people won't take it seriously. So he attacks the sophist again and again, as I made comparison of them with the professor. And Socrates understood, just as I understand, that in fact the sophists were, like professors today, guardians of the truth. Men with very open minds, who sometimes challenge convention in the name of educating their students as well as possible.
Is called acetylcholine. It's vital for communication between the brain and your muscles. A message can be passed all the way from the brain to your finger, say, but until acetylcholine is released at the very end of your nerve fibers, the muscle won't contract.
It's septic and useless. So a lot of groups grew up in the pubs around there and the nightclubs and the working men's clubs, the blue-collar workers' clubs, and there was a lot of music that was made just ready to be tapped, and the Beatles were just, you know, they were just, somebody just knocked the top off a saw and the rest of it just came spouting out. I started about this group called the Black Diamonds when we played all the school hops, you know, and helped you get a few chicks here and there. Then there was this mad vicar who had what was called a parish rock club on a Monday night. And I walked into this club when I was 15 and I heard this marvellous band on stage. And they all looked like Gene Vincent members because they had blue and black striped county caps, corduroy caps.
I don't believe in God, I believe in nature.
And at more than 15,000 pages, perhaps the world's longest novel.
He was not able to relate to anything or anybody.
In Henry's room, he was the lord of his own realm.
One remarkable incident was the bravery of General Darger.
We request you to come over to Abiania and do something to end the child slave horror.
In the realms, nothing is ordinary.
The little girls also had a different nature that made them seem like men.
We are about to have a thrilling time. Battles raging in 10 places at once.
A dashing expedition. A daring rescue. Horrors.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sid's Fun Room is proud to present...
Don't get me started.
The kamikaze of comedy, Buddy Young Jr.
Nice body odor, lady. You smell like landfill. Oh, no.
I like rough sex.
Don't get me started. I'll tell you that right now.
You know, what for you was really cool about it?
All right. Do you want me?
Yeah, just one.
Okay. So the first... So, Anal Princess Diaries was actually an opportunity given to me by Patrick Collins at Elegant Angel. He asked me to come up with a movie, ideas for a movie, basically just to come up with sexual fantasies that I would like to create. And so I thought it'd be cool to do a movie where it shows like how I became an ass whore and how I became so addicted to anal sex. So it's a story, it's diaries or whatever. The story's out of a diary of a little ass whore named Hillary Scott. And it's just different scenarios about my first anal experience and me turning that experience in getting some of my girlfriends, like Sammy Rose, to partake in it as well.
It's hard to figure out what he was thinking. He's a very innocent kind of man.
He was like a child.
He was so strange, but he had complete control of his life.
Something happened in his life, turned him off from the world.
He knew the difference between a boy and a girl.
His knowledge of sex might not be very deep.
He read every paper and he was looking into garbage.
We never thought he was turning it into art.
It seemed clear by now that the nonviolence of the Southern movement, perhaps tactically necessary in the Southern atmosphere, and effective because it could be used to appeal to national opinion against the segregationist South, was not enough to deal with the entrenched problems of poverty in the black ghetto. In 1910, 90% of Negroes lived in the South. But by 1965, mechanical cotton pickers harvested 81% of Mississippi Delta cotton. Between 1940 and 1970, 4 million blacks left the country for the city. By 1965, 80% of blacks lived in cities, and 50% of the black people lived in the North. There was a new mood in SNCC and among many militant blacks. Their disillusionment was expressed by a young black writer, Julius Lester. Now it is over. America has had chance after chance to show that it really meant that all men are endowed with certain inalienable rights. Now it is over. The days of singing freedom songs and the days of combating bullets and billy clubs with love. Love is fragile and gentle and seeks a like response. They used to sing, "I love everybody," as they ducked bricks and bottles. Now they sing, too much love, nothing kills a nigger like too much love.
I believe this is Benji. A guy once blew his load on my chest. I think Benji's... Uh-huh. This is why I think it's Benji.
Somebody stand up at this one.
It's only a great story if it's Artie.
I think Benji...
Yeah, really. And it was my load.
Yeah, if it's Artie's revelation, then he beats Scott the Engineer. If it's Benji, I'm not impressed because Benji's gone to a lot of orgies. He's admitted that. And if the load ended up on his chest...
I just want to
know. I just want to know the position.
Don't yell. No one's going to fight with you.
It's a big deal.
Talk normal.
Don't screech.
I'm going to throw you out.
Fine. It's a big deal.
That You're a whining Benji. Little cunt.
All right, nose job boy. It's a
right.
big deal.
Just shut up.
No Benji. Oh,
now calmly God. Speak and don't yell.
Fine.
You don't have to be
fine.
Outrageous.
Fine. It wasn't what? Me.
It wasn't you.
It wasn't. No.
All right, I got invited to this park.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding?
That is great.
You got a load on your chest?
All right, now listen.
Benji, I
Now listen. I exaggerated a little bit.
Oh, come
hold
on.
Hold it. Are you guys just in cahoots here and making a lie? You had a load on your chest.
This is my story. Here's why I exaggerated it a little bit, because I got turned down twice. I got turned down twice, and I had to come up with something that is a little bit of an exaggeration. I had a shirt on, and it wasn't like a load, but it was some jizz.
Oh.
How did you end up with a load on your chest?
Okay, this goes back to the old story of never ever get in a three-way where it's two guys. On one chick.
You were in that kind of a three-way?
All right, so listen, this.
Yeah, I think that's awfully gay when you're naked with another
wow.
guy.
Wow.
This all happened around the time.
No wonder you're so homophobic.
This all happened.
So you need tape of somebody going back.
Home work done.
This all happened right around the time of the pig store. My life was completely out of control.
You were on cocaine.
So basically, this
cocaine come everything.
This might be disguise.
I'm in L.A. and it's a weekend, and I had a routine that I got into where I would get an 8-ball on a Friday.
Oh my!
And just do it all weekend until I ran out of it.
Okay.
So wow. One of my friends that I made in L.A. was my drug dealer, who's the guy I got coke from, the guy from the pig store who I met on the PCH. She was like this Rastafarian guy.
Your drug dealer blew a load on your chest?
So.
So you didn't have any money? That would be the way.
No.
Let me come on, you take 50 off.
Money wasn't a problem, but so he invites me to this party.
Okay. I go.
I don't have anything to do in L.A. The few friends that I made from Mad TV had not. We're all doing something, and he goes, "Come to this party in the Valley. It's all these porn stars, and these things are crazy." He goes, "There's blow all over the place. There'll be lines on the kitchen table." He goes, "There'll just be a cookie dish full of pills, and it turns into
this is an orgy at an actor's house,
not at a porn star."
Okay,
that's what he told me.
Go ahead.
A guy who produces porno, and he goes, "It turns into an orgy, and they're hot chicks." He goes, "It's like a short thing, like that movie, you're gonna fucking get laid." So now the guy's shady because he's my coke dealer, but I had no coke. I had nothing to do. I said, "Fuck it." I got dressed and I said, "Where do I meet you?" He gives me.
What is your next book?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I've been thinking about this. Well, I always kind of wanted to write a book that all took place within the space of a pop song, you know, like 3 or 4 minutes long, the whole thing. The story, the idea, is that there's this guy, right? And he's totally depressed. I mean, his great dream was to be a lover, an adventurer, you know, riding motorcycles through South America. And instead, he's sitting at a marble table eating lobster, and he's got a good job and a beautiful wife, right? But, everything that he needs. But that doesn't matter. Because what he wants is to fight for meaning. You know, I mean, happiness is in the doing, right? Not in the getting what you want.
Over here in this one.
Oh, they do. What's it called? PF-49. I'll tell you. The only school that has a pink school bus. Don't get me started. Oh, they do. They come to the school and go, "What's for lunch?" He goes, "Him." I'll tell you, it's nuts. These video cassettes are wild, aren't they? What is this, the Hinckley jury?
Yeah, you breathed enough. Come on, back in there. Back in there.
Okay, well, you'll have to warm the room up before
you can see those eyes.
Before we turn around.
That's nice. Great, right there. Hold it. Can you pick your hair off your shoulders there?
Okay.
That's nice right there. Hold it.
So, he's sitting there, and just that second, his little 5-year-old daughter pops up on the table, and he knows that she should get down, because she could get hurt. But she's dancing to this pop song in a summer dress, and he looks down, and all of a sudden, he's 16, and his high school sweetheart is dropping him off at home, and they just lost their virginity, and she loves him, and the same song is playing on the car radio, and she climbs up and starts dancing on the roof of the car, and now he's worried about her, and she's beautiful with a facial expression, you know, just like his daughter's. In fact, you know, maybe that's why he even likes her. You know, I mean, see, he knows he's not remembering this dance. He's there. He's there in both moments simultaneously. And just like for an instant, all his life is just folding in on itself, and it's obvious to him that time is a lie. That it's all happening all the time, and inside every moment is another moment, all... Yeah, happening simultaneously. Anyway, that's kind of the idea. Anyway.
I'll just run away.
They'll send you to another.
I'll run away again.
A world which doesn't float on anything. Therefore, the religious attitude appropriate to our time is not one of clinging to rocks, but of learning to swim.
Then they'll lock you up in a place from which you can't run away.
Cause only God knows what you go through. You'll grow up in the ghetto in a second rate, and your eyes will sing a song of deep hate. The places you play and where you stay looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, the hips and pushes and the big money makers. Got big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you wanna grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scammers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turn stick up, kid, but look what you done did. Got set up for an 8-year bid. Now your man who's true, and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag being used in the field to serve like hell. Till one day you were found hung dead in the cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head.
I don't know if he knew the difference between a boy and a girl.
His knowledge of sex might not be very deep.
Every paper, and he was looking into garbage.
We never thought he was turning it into art.
He always took communion. He must have seen himself as a pure soul.
His world by day was a few small blocks, but his world at night was a growing universe.
Just because there's questions, that does not mean there are answers.
Get in the water, and you've nothing to hold on to, and you try to behave as you would on dry land, you will drown.
Coming up, I watch a lot of DJs
in my early teens and watching the DJs of that particular time. They were playing the music, like my influences, although they were great positive influences. I'm talking about DJ Kool Herc and Pete DJ Jones. These two DJs inspired me to do what I did. They would play the music, and I just sort of felt like I can take the most exciting part of a record, which we call the break, and sort of extend that, because a lot of these songs that I was listening to were like obscure funk tunes where the break section was like maybe 10 seconds long. And from a frustrated point of view, I had this thought that if I can just come up with a way of just taking duplicate copies of the record with two turntables and a mixer, I can extend that five or 10 second part seamlessly, make it 10 minutes if I wanted to. And that's, you know, my thoughts manifested into creating an art form called the quick mix theory, which is actually taking a passage of music or two duplicate copies of vinyl and sort of moving the disc back and forth and repeating a section of the passage, you know, between duplicate copies of the record. That's where it started.
Look at me, baby. Look at me. That's it.
Directions to this place out in the valley. It was like 45 minutes up the 101, like somewhere near Woodland Hills or something. And I find the place. I walk in, and it's about 10 o'clock.
A load on your
and chest. It's about 10 o'clock at night, and it's insanity already. On the big screen, there's
just tell me, did you kill this guy for blowing a load on your chest?
Listen to what happened.
Dead now?
Yeah, because that's the reveal. He killed
him. Listen to what happened.
That's the story.
So I walk in, and it's insane. There's a big room with a big screen TV. There's chicks walking around in bathing suits. There's a pool in the back. But it was like February in L.A. It was still kind of chilly. No one was really going in the pool. And there was porno all over on the big screen. So I see the drug dealer, and he's like, come on in, man, come on in. He takes me into the kitchen, and sure enough, there's blow all over the fucking place.
Right, and you're on Mad TV at this point.
Yeah, I'm on Mad TV at this point. It's a Saturday night, which comes into play in the story. Mad TV was on Saturday nights.
Yeah, because most guys get a load on their chest on Saturday.
Friday would be gay.
So basically, I do a couple of lines right off the bat. He pours me a tequila. I was drinking tequila on the rocks.
Right.
And there's a bowl full of pills, like you said. And he goes, take a couple of pills, man. I took a pill. He told me it was ecstasy.
Uh-huh.
And and there was like painkillers and all this shit. And at this time, I was in such low self-esteem, I just wanted to get fucked up.
Right.
So now I'm looking around, and I guess the ecstasy sort of kicks in, but no one's talking to me. So I tell the guy, you know, no one's really talking to me. And he goes, well, you're on a TV show, right? I go, yeah. He goes, is it on tonight? I go, as a matter of fact, it's starting in about 5 minutes. He goes, we'll put it on the big screen.
Now that should get you laid.
So porno people, you got to know from the L.A. scene, they all want to get into legit show business.
Right.
Badly.
Right. Yeah.
So he puts Mad TV on the big screen next to this porno thing, and there's me in the credits, and a couple of sketches go by, and within 5 minutes, like three smoking hot chicks are talking.
Now they're interested.
Right.
Right.
My life, I could do what I want with it.
All right. You tell me, what do you want to do with your life?
Just look at them. I'll tell you, it warms the heart to see the little ones out there. You know, it wasn't always this easy for us to sit back and enjoy the little ones.
Yeah, Zed, I know.
Never forget what your people went through to get you here. And it's for you to tell them about that. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, kick it! To all my brothers!
brothers, sisters out in every land. It's up to you to shape the world, so you must understand from where our people have come and to where they must go. So now I'll kick a little history that you should know. You see, the Jews have been oppressed for thousands of years. To every corner of the world, you can trace our tears. We were enslaved by the pharaohs till God sent Moses. Even after he delivered us, it was no bed of roses. For 40 years, we wandered on the barren desert sand till Joshua, the leader, brought us to the promised land. So when you kick this rhyme, you wanna sing it out loud. You are the nation of our fathers, young Jews. Be proud.
And Amadeus.
Now our people live here and they
I said
this
is serious.
And
he said possible, but the music is beautiful, I tell you.
But from the house of Jesse came David the king. He kept the nation strong. He wrote the psalms we sing. His son Solomon the wise had it down cold. He asked God for wisdom when he offered him gold. And there were other dark times for the Jewish race, when the innocent were persecuted for our faith. But we owe a all those who have died to forever stand tall and face the world with pride.
Of nature. That is another thing that we have to give to our students, okay? A sense of awe, what the poets used to call and the artists used to call the sublime.
God for television. That's why it was invented.
Yeah, but how does a load get on it?
Well, okay, so listen.
Yeah, come on, really, let's get to the load.
They really liked the movie.
So listen. So,
faggot.
There you go.
So now I'm talking to these three smoking hot chicks. You know, we're talking for about an hour. Now the ecstasy starts kicking in a little bit, and the other chick was clearly on it. She starts touching me. Now, when I tell you this chick was like Jenna Jameson type porno chick, okay?
Nice.
A solid LA.
That's the part I don't believe.
A solid LA 9.
Okay, go okay. Ahead. That's good. LA 9 is a
it's
New York.
It's very high. Yeah.
11, is a New York 14.
We start getting touchy feely with each other. Now we start kissing. We start making out. And she starts grabbing my dick. So now, you know, anyone who's ever done ecstasy knows.
This is in front of everyone she's doing it?
This is in front of everyone. It's dark. There's like people in the corner. There's nobody watching us. This is crazy.
She's grabbing your dick and takes it out of your pants?
Doesn't take it out of my dick. She's grabbing my dick. This is in like the
wow. Imagine what she'd do if you were on Saturday Night Live.
there's this crazy, crazy techno music playing, right? Yeah. And then there's like lights around. Huge house. She goes, let's go in that room. That's the fun room.
Motherfucker, look at this. Just from being on Mad TV.
Right.
It's crazy.
Who knew?
You gotta realize, I'm in porn stars.
Great.
They just see me on a network television show.
This is great.
The Rasta guy was, I see the Rasta guy, he looks at me, starts giving me the thumbs up. And,
right.
And she goes, let's do a couple more lines first. I guess she wasn't fucked up enough to fuck me.
A few more pills and I'm ready for you.
So
let's
go
to the fun room, Artie, where guys can jizz on you.
So I go, all right. We sit down on the dining room table where it's laid out on glass, and like there's like a it's like Scarface. There's like a pile of it. And we cut a few lines. We do another couple lines. We walk into this room.
Right.
Now it is like ancient fucking Rome in this room. I'm looking around. There's couples fucking. There's a couple fucking in the corner. There's a couple on a big couch, like you know, 69ing. Another couple over by the TV.
Yeah.
And I look around and I go, I am at an orgy.
Right.
And I'm like, this is never. I've heard of these, you know.
Right.
And I'm really fucked up. So now, as fucked up as I was, I didn't want to lose total control. She wanted me to. Basically, there was a couple, like, like not fucking, but dry humping on the corner of one edge of the couch. And it's just like this big, like Hispanic looking guy. And this chick who wasn't nearly as hot as my chick. She was sort of heavy set, but big, like real tits. So they're like going at it and all this shit. She goes, let's go to the other side of the couch. And she wanted me to sit down. Now, as fucked up as I was, I didn't want to lose control. I said, I don't want to sit down. I said, let's stand up. And I had a hooded sweatshirt on with a zipper and like jeans on and my sneakers. I didn't take anything over. So basically, I go on the other end of the couch and she's like on her knees leaning.
And here are your hosts for this week's Hullabaloo, Gary and Jerry Lewis.
I want to get down on all fours and forget all my education. When I listen to Mountain Stream, I want to get down on all fours and forget all my education.
American Paris folk song.
England, London, Philharmonic.
Radio Hanoi.
This is Manila calling.
Direct from Radio Australia.
From Washington, the voice of America.
Put your hands on top of the
Radio Peking wishes you all a pleasant good evening.
Good. You look extremely helpless right now.
I had walking pneumonia, and my temperature got up to about 104 degrees. I woke from a fever dream, and I took off all my clothes, and I ran outside into the street in front of the house, counting really, really fast. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And I became more cognizant of that place that you go to between being asleep and being awake. When you're walking along the fence and your foot slips and you wake with a start and all these images are running into your mind's eye, and it makes a quick little epiphany that makes sense for about a millisecond, and then it's instantly gone. The part of you that's still awake wonders, you know, what that was, but you end up not remembering. So you want to try to find that perfect information again, but you can't make sense of what's left, and you just have this leftover conundrum that you can't do anything with.
What's extraordinary is that we still don't know exactly how it works.
You look extremely helpless right now. Just open your legs. Open your legs.
When I listen to Mountain Stream, I want to get down on all fours and forget all my education.
See something they love, for then they will listen to you. It is the nature of the army to stress speed, to take advantage of the enemy's absence, to travel unanticipated roads, and to attack when they are not alert.
I can't believe you're here.
Well, I live here in Paris. Are you sure you don't have to stay? You're not supposed to talk some more?
No. They're sick of me. I spent the night here last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. They got a loft upstairs.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, how are you? This is so weird.
I'm fine. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you.
So you want to go to a cafe?
Yeah.
Okay. There's one a little further.
Okay.
That I like.
I thought I was going to totally lose it in there. When I first saw you, I mean, how'd you even know I was going to be here?
Well, it's my favorite bookstore in Paris. You can sit down for hours and read. I love it. There's fleas, but, you know.
I know. I think a cat slept in my head last night.
So I saw your picture on the calendar about a month ago.
Yeah.
And that you were going to be here. It's funny because I read an article on your book, and it sounded vaguely familiar.
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't put it all together until I saw your photo, so.
Did you have a chance to read it?
Yes, I was really, really surprised, as you can imagine. I mean, I had to read it twice, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Comme ci, comme ça?
No, I liked it.
Yeah?
It's very romantic. I usually don't like that, but it's really well written. It's really well written.
Right. Thank
congratulations.
You.
Wait.
What?
Before we go anywhere, I have to ask you.
Sure, what?
Did you show up in Vienna that December?
No. Did you?
No, I couldn't. But did you? I need to know. It's important to me.
Why, if you didn't?
Well, did you? Oh, thank God you didn't.
Well, thank God.
Like,
thank God
oh
you didn't.
God.
I mean, thank God I didn't and you didn't. I mean, one of us had showed up there alone, then that would have sucked.
I know. I was so concerned with that. I always felt horrible about not being there, but I couldn't.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children over the age of 18 only, the most uncensored trio in talk radio today. Straight from the Howard Brown satellite, it's Jack Sketch, Devin Devine, and the incomparable Howard Brown. It's Howard Brown Live.
It's Monday, February 13th, 2006, here on Howard Brown Live. Of course, I am Howard Brown, joined along by the beautiful and busty Devin Devine and Mr. Jack Sketch.
If you're listening to us via MP3 and not a live show, check us out on the web, www.howardbrownlive.com. That's our website. And, of course, there you go to listen live, you go to the chat room, whatever, blah, blah. Now, what do we got on the show tonight? Dev, lay it down for me, because I'm in my underwear, and I can't lay down.
Who do we have on the show?
You know, my grandma died a few days before, and she was buried that day, December 16th.
She died that day. The one in Budapest?
Yes. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember everything.
Of course, it was in your book. But anyway, I was about to fly to Vienna, you know, and we heard the news about her. And, of course, I had to go to the funeral with my parents.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
I know. But you weren't there anyway. Wait. Why weren't you there? I would have been there if I could have. I made plans and... You better have a good reason. What?
the first people to work on it was an Austrian pharmacologist called Otto Loewi. He came up with a theory, but for 17 years he couldn't think how to prove it.
She's not letting go of those heels. She's good.
Until in 1920, he had a dream.
I awoke, turned on the light, and jotted down a few notes on a tiny slip of paper. Then I fell asleep again. It occurred to me at 6 o'clock in the morning that during the night, I'd written down something most important, but I was unable to decipher the scrawl.
Here is the news. Japan's long-threatened aggression in the Far East began tonight with air attacks on United States naval bases in the Pacific. Fresh reports are coming in every minute. The latest facts of the situation are these. Messages from Tokyo say that Japan has announced a formal declaration of war against both the United States and Britain. The Japanese air raids were made on the Hawaiian Islands and the Philippines. Observers' reports say that an American battleship has been hit and that a number of the Japanese bombers have been shot down. A naval action is in progress off Honolulu, and American transport with timber on board has been torpedoed in the Pacific, and another cargo ship is reported in distress. President Roosevelt has told the Army and Navy to act on their secret orders, has called a meeting of ministers, and is preparing a report for Congress. In London, Mr. Wynant has seen Mr. Churchill, and both Houses of Parliament have been summoned for tomorrow afternoon to hear a statement on the situation.
Well, actually, you know, I was pretty decent at it, but it was my first student that I taught this quick mix theory to. Gray was a Theodore, was probably the best at that, and it was called needle drops. But what I came up with is what I call the clock theory, and the clock theory was where you would place the needles down on both copies of the vinyl, and when the ending of one was over, you would push in the next fader, but while the other one was playing, you would sort of spin the record back one or two revolutions to the top of that break, and then when the other one was over, you would push in the other, so it was like push, spin back, push, spin back.
Film noir really had its high watermark right after the war. The visual style of film noir, I think, has fingerprints going back very early in German expressionist cinema. They had a sparseness, a visual and stylistic sparseness. You know, what's the bare bones story? What are the bare bones facts of the characters? And what is the basic visual information we need to tell the story? And so film noir developed an increasingly dense and rarefied visual vocabulary that had to do with very strong single source lighting, slashes of light, dark shadows, low angles, extremely strong graphic elements that had kind of a primal simplicity to them.
Well, I actually never, you know, this here, this made it an assured way of being able to get back to the beginning of the break section without actually having to pull the needle up. And what I would do is I would mark, like on the label, if it was like a record from a, if it was a 12 inch from Atlantic Records, and if the break beginning began at, let's just say, the top of the A, I would sort of put like a magic marker right there. So that would be my clock of where I had to bring the record back to.
And what I'll do with that is I'll quickly just say, and I'll hopefully get back to this later, is that any highly successful person in the world that's worked their way up from the bottom is a magician.
Over the arm of the couch, kissing me. Now she starts taking her shirt off and gets completely naked from the waist up. She's got a thong on. All these tattoos on her back, and but really like a, she was blonde, blue eyed, like
all right,
California
yeah.
chick.
Yeah, I feel like
fun.
body through it, you're going to have to open it more than just a smidgen.
Oh, yeah.
One or two revolutions back to re-arrive at the top of the break. And I would sort of do this with two copies of records back and forth, back and forth. So picking up the needle, you know, was no longer an issue because that day wasn't definite. Because once you picked it up, you know, I could always get close to it, but it was never really, like, exact.
Now, to visualize that in relation to the second outer space level, we should get a city block. Visualize a city block with 8 building sites on it. These are generous lots, 100 feet. Get your block squared up, same on all sides. It's a square block. Then go up 800 feet. Put our small room in the middle of that city block. We've got it. That's the second outer space level. I picked cubic Chicago from a third outer space level. I want a 16-mile cube.
Tell me, please, why are you... Did I miss this? Why are you picking 8 all along the line?
It just works out that way, conveniently. The math we work in, we computed this in light years.
And this is your premise. This is the original premise.
Yes, we did our computation in light years. But because they give us light years in here. They give us something to figure out. But the numbers leave you cold. When I can get it in tennis balls and rooms and blocks, you can feel them.
Very visual, yes.
I pick cubic Chicago because I want something about 16 miles cubic. Toss the city block in the cubic city. You get the third outer space level.
And creating the clock theory, which all DJs use today now, where they mark the album at a certain point, is... one of my contributions to the art of the DJ mix.
Essentially
out of nothing. It's a fucking Emmy. It's gold plated. It
melted down, man. Look, I told you $15.
Oh, fuck, man, come on. This is like huge, this shit.
If you had an Oscar, maybe I could give you something. An Academy Award. But TV. What else you got?
I don't know. I got a laptop in my car.
Yeah, okay. Cool. I'll check that out. 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 Check that out.
The next night at 3 o'clock, the idea returned. I got up immediately, went to the laboratory, and performed a simple experiment on a frog heart.
She bends over, she tries to take my shirt off, and I won't let her take anything off. I'm like, really?
You want to see man tits?
she goes down, she unzips my jeans, and she pulls my dick out, and she starts blowing.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay. She's giving me a blowjob, but now I got a lot of shit in me, and there's people around, and I've never, you know, I was never involved in an orgy or anything like that, and I'm uncomfortable with other people around, so it takes me a little while to get going. I finally get excited, and she's going at it. She's blowing me. Now, I see the big Hispanic guy from the corner of his eye starts looking at us.
Right.
He, I guess, hates the fact that I'm with a hotter chick, maybe.
Right. He probably figures he should be with a hot chick.
He gets up. Right. He pushes the chick away. He whispers something in her ear. The other chick comes over to me, the not-so-hot chick, and starts making out with me. So now the hot chick is blowing me. The not so hot chick is making out with me. What I realized later was this is all a distraction. I guess the guy whispered something in the dumpy chick's ear.
Right.
Out of the corner of my eye, I see the Hispanic guy go to the back of the fucking hot chick and just start spanking her.
Sing it out loud. You are the nation of our fathers, young Jews. Be proud.
It's a somber landscape. Everything is Cartesian. Of course, Fig Newtonian. Sort of crumbling out both ends. Here in the People's Choice reality. Just think if everything in reality was left to the People's Choice Awards. I mean, you don't even have to just think. And then take it down a few notches, bend it over, and give it a good whooping behind the Virginia Slims woodshed back there. Mix and match a couple of culture overlay, half decline returns, undo some derivatives to the, at least 3.5 exponentials. Give it a good orthogonal with the hairbrush on the hiney. Reorient at least 4.2 fetish crossfaded associations, and then subtract a whole one from that, and delete everything to do with quantization, and just sort of grope around for a while in a handicapped state, and give yourself an award. Very sad in the Matrix. We waited in line oh so long, handpicked our parents, our latitude and longitude of birth, timed dead center for the interclockings mechanism alignments done outside of time space, so therefore done successfully for this, for whales. Although actually I dramaturge a little. I theatricize a little. I melodram excessively, occasionally. It's actually right on time, slightly behind schedule, 12 noon, high noon dead center, or maybe the opposite. Who's counting? Here in New Metaphysics, doing a play-by-play with color. And our accountant is on mic with us all. Unlike on TV. And then there's the X Factor man. He tells you all this stuff behind the scenes, behind the smoky room, behind the Virginia Slims woodshed, getting the hairbrush out of the hiney. The full story. Even the stuff that has nothing to do with money or hubris, like in the real Matrix, that's really not really real, but it's, it looks like it, so who's counting? even creative accounting can't handle that. And not even conspiracy real creative accounting behind the Council on Foreign Secret Agendas. Way beyond the secret bases on the dark side of the moon for the Illuminatus. Not even counting that. We're calling the play by play here in New Metaphysics. Gary Geiserman, the appointed vocalizer, gotta have one for that real effect you waited in line oh so long for. Seemed like it took barely a second to pop into this. All is well, going well, right on time. It's so right on time, we don't even believe it.
I dressed like pajamas and jeans, and they all wore sunglasses, although it was the depths of winter, I know.
And that's something about magic that we can look at, too. With magic, you can make something out of nothing, nothing out of something, or turn something into something else. And we all know by listening to the media that the media is very adept at all of those things.
Falling for you, I put a ceiling on that because you were a guy. Until I remembered why I opened the door to women in the first place. To not limit the likelihood of finding that one person who'd compliment me so completely. So here we are. I was thorough when I looked for you.
But the very irony with which Socrates overlaid his portrait of these sophists led them to be discredited right down until the 19th century.
So here we are. I
knew you were feeling so positive.
I woke up this morning, the depression just washed over me.
You are dissolving a 20-year marriage.
It's not my fucking goddamn marriage, okay? I had another panic attack. And I thought I had the shit beat.
What happened?
I played golf with a friend of mine, and he was talking about this young guy he knew who passed away. I guess I became overcome with emotion because they had to help me off the tee. It's not the first time it's happened recently.
I wish you had told me.
Yeah, well, I wish you'd cured it.
When the attacks first reappeared, what was going on in your life?
You had just rebuffed my affections.
When you actually passed out, were you thinking about me, or...
I walked into my house, and the cleaning girl was crying on the phone about a cousin who went off the road in a Mexican bus wreck or something. I remember just feeling inside like I wanted to fucking choke her, because there was always something with her. Next thing I know, boom.
When did it next happen?
My cousin Tony was up at the house. He went to borrow some tools, and they weren't there. I was inside talking to Carmella and started to feel that, that it passed.
Your cousin was at your house?
Yeah.
Tony, uncle, whatever.
Uncle Al.
And your maid was crying about her cousin.
The other day at the golf course, my cousin entered into that too.
In what way?
He hurt his foot.
You were so concerned about your cousin's foot, you collapsed on the golf course.
I worry about him.
He's a grown man, isn't he? Is he in danger of losing the foot, or...
Fuck his foot. It's not his foot. Forget the foot. I worry about him. He's right out of fucking jail, okay? Hey, look. The reason he went to prison is he got pinched hijacking a truckload of Betamaxes in 86. And they hooked him up with a RICO and he got 17 years. And I was supposed to be there the night of the jacking.
I think the first time that I decided that I would show this to the public, it was an outdoor dance. A block party, we called it.
Don't you realize that you're on a one-way road straight to a detention center?
Our movies are always better than theirs. Private screening. Irregardless of how many are actually there.
You can come into the park for free and just, come party. And I think the first time that I showed this, I said to myself, my theory was, if I play the climatic part of duplicate copies of a record, so it'd be like maybe 10 to 15 duplicates back to back, seamlessly, on time, I should have the neighborhood park in an uproar.
Private truths and understandings about world, war, life, time. I know. Not quite like the official story. Not quite like.
I got the exact opposite, it's kind of painful that, it didn't work according to what I thought it would. People just sort of just stood there and just stood there quiet, in front of hundreds of people.
I was thorough when I looked for you. And I feel justified lying in your arms. Because I got here on my own terms. And I have no question there was some place I didn't look. And for me, that makes all the difference.
And it didn't get loud, and it didn't party, it didn't do what I thought. I'm not sure what it was at that time, because I had all the equations, sort of set. I watched these songs, the songs that I picked, I watched certain DJs play from the beginning, and I knew that at that particular part is where the audience went wild. So I figured, let me just go to the part of these songs and just do them one behind another, but it was just extremely quiet. And it turned out that the real fact of the matter is this vocal entertainment was sort of needed to accompany this new way of DJing.
Can I at least tell people all you needed was some serious deep dicking?
knew he who he did sort of tame. The real fact of the matter is this vocal entertainment was sort of needed to accompany this new way of DJing.
I see.
Oh, you see.
Why didn't you go?
I was jumped by a bunch of Molignans. They were trying to take my shoes. I fought them off, but they cut my fucking head open, the fucking jigaboo cocksucking motherfuckers.
Okay, forget that.
And, I made the first attempt, and I was totally horrible of trying to, like, rap with my mixing. And it was really too much to do at one time because it's constantly, you know, it's a constant, you know, taking records on, taking them off, putting them on. You know, so I was horrible at it. And then what I would do is basically put a microphone out on the other side of the table, and anyone that thought that they can verbalize to this newfound science.
Your cousin went to prison. That's tremendous guilt to carry.
He went to Nam, I was 4F. And that's the way our friends look at it.
And that's why you favor Tony Uncle Al.
You know, 17 years, I did so good. He lost his wife, his daughter.
No wonder you're having anxiety attacks.
You're going to have to open that door wide enough to allow you to pass outside. And so it is with your voice. If you want to produce sound that resonates and projects, your mouth is going to have to be open enough to allow your projecting and resonating voice out into the world.
Right? So she looks behind and goes, oh yeah, yeah, spank me, spank me. Wow. And I'm making out with the other chick, and she goes, I love being with two guys. I love it. I love it. And I'm like, well, whatever. I'm not saying anything. I'm kissing the other chick, and she's like, but if I would have been.
So, did you see the nickname?
Finger cuffs.
And
she had a weird nickname. What's your point?
Do you know why it's finger cuffs?
No, I suppose you do.
I do. Remember Coey London left Hudson, went to North our senior year?
Yeah.
Well, asshole, I ran into him at the stores the other day. God, it's been ages since I've seen him. Had a great conversation. Mentioned you were dating Alyssa.
Did you?
Yeah. Funny thing is, you know what he said?
Alyssa Jones? Shit, I know Alyssa Jones. I mean, I know Alyssa Jones. You know what I'm saying? Me and Rick Darris used to hang out for a while, right? Just hanging around her house after school and shit, because her parents were, like, never home and shit, right? But one day, Rick just whips it out and starts rubbing it on her leg and shit, chasing it around the living room. I was dying. But you know what the crazy bitch did? She fucking drops to her knees and just starts sucking them off right in front of me, like I wasn't even there, man. I almost died. But that's not the fucked up part. The fucked up part was Rick, man, right in the middle of it, turns to me and he's pointing at her and he says, Goey. Just like that, Goey. So I'm like, yo, I'll give it a shot. So I start pulling her pants down and shit all slow because I figure any second she's going to turn around and belt me in the mouth, right? But yo, check this shit out, man. She's all into it, man. She don't try to stop me or nothing. She's all wet and shit and I just start going to work. You know what I'm saying? Me and Rick are going to town on this crazy bitch and she's just loving it. All morning and shit, it was fucked up. So Rick's the one that came up with the nickname because that day she had us locked and tight from both sides like a pair of goddamn Chinese finger cuffs. None for you, man.
Mixing, please feel free. You know, everybody failed except for this one person who probably was like the savior of my esteem. It was Keith Wiggins, who was my first MC. He went by the name of Cowboy. And Cowboy had a way of, he reminded me of like a ringmaster at the circus, you know. And he had a very commanding voice. And he came up with a verbalization, like, you know, throw your hands in the air, say this, home, say party, and this and that. So that was the perfect diversionary tactic to get people off of looking at me and to look at him and do what he says do while I go through a series of breaks, you know, just playing one behind another seamlessly to the beat.
Maybe if you came clean with him.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You okay?
Yeah.
Well, shit. Cody's a lot of things, all right? But an exaggerator, he's not. The dude's Catholic.
She's never even been with a guy.
That's what she says.
According to the nocturnal design, its results became the foundation of the theory of chemical transmission of the nervous impulse.
Here is the news. Japan's long-threatened aggression in the Far East began tonight.
Say, her on her hands and knees getting filled out like an application constitutes being with a guy.
Yes.
Yes. Hi, Jonathan, and hi, Phil.
Hi.
I just wanted to say, Jonathan, that I was listening, and I never call into any of these shows, but I heard you, and I think that the real victim in this are not the people that you are filming. The real victim is you. And the reason being that I think that this call, going on the air and everything, is a call for help. I think your soul is just crying out for help. You're talking about having chronic fatigue syndrome. You know what's causes chronic fatigue syndrome?
Doctor told me that it's a virus. They're pretty sure it's a virus of some kind.
It's the virus in your mind. That's what it is. It's the virus in your mind. If I were your doctor,
I'm pretty happy otherwise.
You're a happy man. No, you said yourself, I have no life, okay? Does not sound like a happy man. A man who can't get out of the house because he's obsessed with looking at other people. Why don't you look in the mirror and look at yourself and see what is really there? You know what your psychologist should do?
Chloe London is pulling your chain, okay? The fact you even believe him for a minute makes you look like a complete fucking idiot.
I'm getting your back, asshole. People don't forget shit like finger cuffs. And what if it got out that she's queer as well? How do you think that's going to make you look?
Go on with what you were saying.
All right. What if she's carrying a disease?
Gotta watch out for lists in our world. Just the fact that something is listed serially is probably like a hex, like a voodoo, spelled in some arcane way that gives you a little chill somewhere. And conjunctives, watch out for those connecting words. Liable to weave your noose for you, hang you out to wave in the wind like a big phallus. Watch out.
I saw top secret documents saying that an unidentified flying object had landed.
Here is the news.
Sober. I could have come in 2 seconds and got out of the situation.
And not be shot.
Right. So the Hispanic guy pulls down his pants and starts fucking her.
Wow. While you're getting a blow.
While she's blowing me. Oh, the other chick is making hell with me. So now I see this out of the corner of my eye.
Well,
now, a couple of buddies of mine had told me they had been in three ways where this was the exact...
Hey, Artie, did the guy have a nice cock?
Well, listen.
Since he came on you.
A couple of friends of mine had said that they had been in this type of three-way before where one of them's fucking the chick from behind, the chick's blowing them, and they high-five each other.
Right,
and stuff.
Right.
But these are guys who knew each other. So as soon as this starts to happen, he starts fucking her, and I'm trying to ignore him. I'm looking at the chick that I'm making out with. I hear him go like, fucking yeah, fucking yeah. Like he's pouring on sound, like really hitting her. And,
Are you having an attack now?
No. I had a huge lunch, that's all. It's gas.
Absolutely, thought alone can completely change the body.
The most Jewish looking one in the group plays the Nazi.
Schizophrenic. I'm not exactly sure what her illness was. She had a head trauma when she fell off the roof. She did do LSD, PCP, and marijuana. You know, she was a flower child, a hippie back in the 60s. I am emotionally disturbed right now. You know, I wasn't brought up in a very neat and perfect environment. It really freaked me out. I have a feeling that we're in another dimension and that I've switched. See, I got a hold of a drug. I'm not exactly sure what kind. But I believe it was either PCP or LSD, and it depersonalized my mind. Nobody else hears it, but I do. I bummed a marijuana cigarette. I hope they don't die. I am depersonalized. I think it is permanent brain damage. I feel like I'm in a dream all the time. I forgot how it was to be normal, you know? Sometimes it freaks me out. I think that was the time I was talking about her and her pussy and all that stuff. I don't usually talk dirty like that. Oh, life is a trip. It's like one big long dream. No gay person came up to me and brainwashed me. If anybody is listening, I am gay. I've always been gay. I don't know if it's from the molesting or not. I'm just lusty for everything. I don't even like to suck on stuff like that. I just have the feelings of doing it. I don't like to do it. Seriously, I don't. I love my mother so much. Can't take this anymore. I'm arrested. I don't want to die. I just don't want to be. I'm not crazy. I'm not going home. I'm staying here for the rest of my fucking life. She kidnapped me, took me to Chicago, Illinois. She was raped in front of me. They were talking about these tunnels that were underground, these skeletons that were discovered
nobody's supposed to know I'm gay. But I sort of wanted it in a way because I do have gay feelings. But I don't know why. I guess I'm a silent faggot. They look at me. And it's just like, oh, I hear. You think I'm crazy? I'm not crazy. I'm just stupid. What's happening to me? Am I cracking up? I'm hearing things. There's a very big fucked up mistake. Because that noise. The hell is it? He molested me.
I want to die.
Fuck you! What? Oh, it's not possible that she's all crudded up? I can vouch for is clean. The dude never got laid in high school. But Darius? He's an arch fucking bushman. Name me one chick in our senior class that he did nail, for Christ's sake.
There was a lot of Bob Dylan and Johnny Cash that happened to be playing in the background, and we couldn't get rights to it, so we had to mar the audio, and we also had to put an additional track over it and add subtitles. And I was really, really, really resistant against that.
Okay, I'm telling you, she's never even been with a guy.
But now looking back, I think it lends something very interesting to it.
What is it, Anthony?
Charming the dialogue which Swan now heard between piano and violin at the beginning of the last passage. The suppression of human speech, so far from letting fancy reign there uncontrolled, as one might have thought, had eliminated it altogether. Never was spoken language of such inflexible necessity. Never had it known questions so pertinent, such obvious replies. At first the piano complained alone, like a bird deserted by its mate. The violin heard and answered it, as from a neighboring tree. It was as at the first beginning of the world, as if there were not yet but these twain upon the earth, or rather, in this world, closed against all the rest, so fashioned by the logic of its creator that in it there should never be any but themselves.
New metaphysics makes me want to slur my words and speak backwards.
Anthony?
All right, the night he got pinched, I had a fucking panic attack, all right? From my mother, goddammit. I didn't even know what it was then.
All right, just relax. Focus on your breathing. Slowly.
It's not that. I just need some fucking Beano or something.
No, just please focus. I've got my medical bag in case.
Black guys. My ass. I had a fight with my mother and I had a fucking panic attack.
Okay, forget that for now.
Come on, we're supposed to come over with some fucking yarn for some booties my mother was making mad of. She was late. Oh, what the fuck? Why go into it?
Close your eyes. Focus on your breathing. You want some water?
She was carrying on. I said to her, I said, Carmela loves you. You know, you gotta understand, she's got a 3-month-old. She kept going, and I started screaming at her. So I left. I walked out the door. I went over to the car, opened the door, boom. Cut my fucking head open.
And your cousin doesn't know this.
No, I lied. What am I going to tell him? What am I going to tell all of them? and a fight with my mother, and I fainted. That's why I missed a job.
Your serve.
Two fucking zeros.
And I'm telling you, the bitch could be a bigger fucking germ farm than that monkey in Outbreak.
You let it go, okay? I'm fucking tired of this shit. She's my goddamn girlfriend. You understand that? Show a little fucking respect.
I've said that this movie has been ultimately a cathartic process, but
on the hearts of two frogs, he worked out that without one special substance, the nerves couldn't change the speed of the beating heart.
Platinum X producer and director, the very, very cute Brandon Iron.
Yes, and I have to say, from a guy's standpoint, or from anyone's standpoint, the guy's hung like a horse.
But this did not resolve fundamental questions about the nature and purpose of the universe. For example, what was R. Turing's actual sex?
I swear to God, if I ever even hear you so much as fucking mention that Eliza looks a little peaked from now on, I'll put your fucking teeth down your throat.
Jesus fucking Christ!
You know, I have to retract that from time to time because it still sort of wakes me up in the middle of the night wondering what it is that I've done. I've said that this movie has been ultimately a cathartic process, but...
That's a lot to get off your chest.
I thought I was smart, and that's why I bumped him up and protect him. Turns out I'm just a fucking robot to my own pussy-ass weakness.
Put your fucking teeth down your throat.
Yeah, maybe.
In the same way that the fact that the Athenian democracy put Socrates to death so embittered his students like Plato that they portrayed the Athenian democracy as being the worst possible form of government. And that is how it comes out in the pages of the Republic itself. When Plato traces the degeneration of an ideal state.
Japan's long-threatened aggression in the Far East began...
Comedy,
comedy,
uncensored.
Let's hear.
My name is Mike Marina from Los Angeles, California. With America's conflict back east with Iraq, how do you think the world opinion has changed of the country? Thank you.
I decide then that I'm going to bail. I don't want anything to do with it.
So, how has world opinion of America changed, you think, Sidney Blumenthal?
Ich habe dieses Blues geschrieben, als es mir sehr schlecht ging. Ich dachte, ich müsste sterben. Meine Geburtsurkunde war abgelaufen. Und ich wollte Selbstmord begehen. Ich stand im 13. Stockwerk eines Hauses und wollte mich hinunterstürzen vom Sims. Und die Leute schickten einen Pastor hoch, der mich davon abhalten sollte. Er kam nach oben, schaute aus dem Fenster und sah mich an und sagte, sind Sie Otto? Ja, auf die Plätze. Fertig. Steht was Falsches auf der Tafel. Geh mit dem Schwamm drüber. Übrigens.
You know, I have to retract that from time to time because it still sort of wakes me up in the middle of the night wondering what it is that I've done. It's very hard to emotionally process everything about this film and the notoriety that it's received.
He's also a capable person. Okay.
You know, sometimes what happens in here is like taking a shit.
Yes, okay. Although I prefer to think of it more like childbirth.
Trust me. It's like taking a shit.
Because I'm so in the thick of it right now. It's so thick around me. So I can't say that I ultimately feel great about making this movie or relieved. It's a nice insight into the human condition also. And I think we as a society and as a culture who loves cinema, I think people in general have been hungry for that.
I like rough sex. I love it. I like being choked and spanked, smacked around.
Actually, it was called cutting, and the whole thing was called the quick mix theory, and we called it cutting because it was actually taking a section of the rhythm and rearranging it. And this is something that I've created over 27 years ago. It's now called scratching, which is sort of just like one part. I probably was more frustrated than anything because, I mean, so much stuff I had to buy. Like, a lot of it was trial and error, trying to get my hands on the right needle. You know, I had to go through countless needles, you know, trying to find the right turntable. I had to go through countless turntables and then finding the right mixer. Yoo-hoo. Yoo-hoo. And finding the right mixer, but then it didn't have a system where I can pre-hear the music in my head, so I had to create something called the peekaboo system. So I had to like actually jury-rig these things, fueled the fire to me just staying at this, and you know, lived either like in a junkyard, going through like abandoned stereo equipment, or you know, going through abandoned cars, taking out the speakers and the radios and stuff of that nature. I probably was lived in my room more so, you know, just looking for something. Thank you.
just a part of a big cycle of lies. A lot of newspapers and magazines who sell my lies to more and more people.
Shut up and stand up.
Minutes, and then I told her I was a writer working on a difficult book. My first few months here had been wonderful. She'd made me feel welcomed in the neighborhood. Everything had been going well until this past Monday, when her dog's barking had begun. And the barking was completely unnerving, because it never stopped, and that I'd been unable to work, no less think, since it had started. I'd put off coming here for 3 days because I didn't want to act too quickly, because I wanted to give this thing a chance to see what would happen, to see if your dog would get used to your being away. But now that I've been through 4 continuous days of barking, I realize the situation is impossible.
It's creeping out.
It's creepy. It's too much for me. Like, I don't want to be...
Dawson.
The two of you banged Brandon awesome. Iron? That lucky fucker. Cool,
yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Sure
what
did.
What movie was this for?
It's The Photogenic Memories, number 6.
Is that out?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, I want to see it when it comes out.
But you know what? I have the photos up on a gallery in my website. So when my new site goes live, you'll be seeing those photos.
Meine alte Freund aus Kindertagen.
Oh yes, the traditions themselves know this. They all have their stages of growth and development.
Der Baum ist tot, er fiel im frühen Morgenrot. Du fielst heut früh, ich kam zu spät. Du wirst dich nie im Wind mehr wiegen.
I'm not a three-way kind of guy.
How are you with this story? You still in it?
I'm liking it.
You're liking it.
I'm dying over here.
The metaphysics. Witnessing people's lives actually ending. Just for ideas, sometimes just even for little short scenes of drama that aren't even that well written. Just fit into the puzzle, like a news report or something from a small newspaper. Might even be an article on the small newspaper that they didn't copy from the New York Times or Wire or whatever. Somebody goes to prison for like 27 years. With 5 minutes on channel one, maybe a serialized replay of maybe 1 minute of that 5 minute article. That's the lifetime. It's going by like flies in a fucking windshield over here. That's if even people are listening, even. I don't know what the ratings are. Fucking, yeah. Dramatis personae kind of thing.
But when I was finished, she said firmly that she was sorry I was so affected by the dog's barking. She'd just begun a new job this week as a therapist at a clinic, which was the reason she'd been away. A therapist for victims of physical abuse.
Der Baum ist tot, er fiel im frühen Morgenrot.
Where's your uncle at?
He had to go take care of some business, so I'm taking over the truck for a couple of days for him.
Really? All by yourself?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just turned 18, and I need some extra money for when I go back to school, so...
You're 18?
I just turned 18.
Wow. What is that? Bubblegum?
Yeah, snowball. It's pulling me off.
Wow.
So you're on your lunch break?
Yeah. I got an hour.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Come over here so I can talk to you for a second.
Over here?
Huh? Yeah.
Hey there.
Hey. Oh, it's so hot out here today.
Yeah.
So what's your name anyway?
I'm Haley.
I'm Jack.
Nice to meet you.
You too. Mm. Your uncle knows who I am. He's seen you around.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't seen you. Well, I was thinking, I get to take my lunch break now, too. And I know of this really cool secluded spot we could go hang out.
Okay, all right.
Just a part of a big cycle of lies.
We can't get a trace or break into the line. It's like a ball of rubber band.
I knew there was something weird about this.
We can't get a trace or break into the line. It's like a ball of rubber bands.
Physics makes me want to slur my words and speak backwards.
I'm just not finished yet.
Where's that bitch partner of yours been?
Sulking. He's having a real problem with the solicit thing.
I think it's more like Banky's having a real problem with all things not hetero right about now. And I'm just another paradigm of said aberration.
Well, Banky does not hate gays, you know that.
But I do think he is a bit homophobic. This latest episode between you and Miss Thang has tapped into that. His warped perception, he lost you to the dark side, which is she.
You make it sound like me and him were dating.
Don't kid yourself. That boy loves you in a way that he ain't ready to deal with.
You know, he's been digging up dirt on Alyssa.
Honey. And just what?
Mr. Angela Lansbury uncovered about your lady fan.
I heard some bullshit story that you took on 2 pounds.
Really? Well, then he's barking up the wrong tree if he wants to split you up, isn't he? He's not going to make you see the error of your ways by pointing out how truly gay she's not. This one?
Actually, you know, it has kind of gotten to me.
How so?
Well, Banky's got a pretty good bullshit detector. He's not known for believing misinformation.
So what if it is true? Would that bother you?
Sex with multiple partners?
Oh!
At the same time? But you've been so confident.
So what do you care?
That's just it, you know. I shouldn't care. But it gets to me.
Kind of gal Alyssa is. You don't think she's been in the middle of an all-girl group girl?
You see, that doesn't bother me, right? But just the thought of her with guys.
Oh, hold on, I beg you, please. Don't drop 50 stories in my opinion of you by falling prey to that latest of trendy beasts.
Which is?
Lesbian chic. It's also acceptable to be a gay girl nowadays. People think it's cute. Got this full picture of lipstick lesbians in their heads like they all resemble Alyssa, while most of them look more like you.
Do I detect a little inter-subculture cattiness here?
Gay or straight, ugly still ugly. And most of those boys are scary.
I thought your facts were supposed to be all super supportive.
Screw that all for one shit, all right? I gotta deal with being a minority in the minority of the minority, and nobody's supporting my ass. While the whole society's fawning over girls on girls, here I sit, a reviled gay man. And to top that off, I'm a gay black man. notoriously the most swishy of the bunch.
Three strikes.
Hey, there's a line.
Are you up, Rex?
Grandmaster D, if you please.
Assalamu alaikum, little brother.
I like rough sex.
Come on him again.
Go ahead, just shoot your load on him, Bob.
So I push the dumpy chick away, and I go to take myself out of boxing. And she keeps pulling me back. She goes, no, I want it. How she's doing this? I'm looking down at her. The Hispanic guy pulls his dick out.
Oh, no.
Jerking off on the chick's back. And I guess he's in porn because he seemed like a professional at it. Like, he pulled out at the exact right time. I'm trying to get away. He jerks off, and out of the corner of my eye, I just see jizz fly up in the air.
Like in slow-mo.
Like it was in slow fucking motion. So now I get violent. I almost slap the chick.
Right.
I pull it away. I zip up and start yelling at the guy. I go, what the fuck is your fucking problem? What are you a fucking...
I
go, what are you, a fucking weirdo? You asswipe?
See, a lot of guys, after they do homo stuff, get very violent.
I mean, that totally reverted. I said, what are you, a fucking asswipe, motherfucker? Now, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget what he said to me. He leaned back, and he starts smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, and he goes...
And he goes, go back to the suburbs.
Oh!
That's what he said to me. He goes, go back. He called me Bridge and Tunnel.
Uh-huh.
Go back to the suburbs. You can't deal with it. I'm like, I can't fucking deal with it. I'm going to fucking beat the shit out of you.
I got a load on my chest.
So now I'm sweating from the ecstasy. I don't know what to do. I said, you stay right the fuck there. Don't go anywhere. I said, I'm going to my car to get a fucking gun. That's what I'm talking about.
By the way, yeah, this happened to you when you were on Mad TV. Now you could probably get five guys to jizz on you.
Now I don't have a gun in my car, but right. I wanted to scare the guy. So I go outside and I start like looking around. I go in the bathroom.
I've got a gun.
I go in the bathroom because I'm freaking out.
Did you know jizz was on you?
From the pills. No. Listen. So I go in the bathroom and because I'm sweating from the pills. I go in the sink and I start splashing my face with cold water.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. I look up in the mirror above the sink, and on my chest on the dark sweatshirt,
yeah.
It's clearly not a load, but like a drop of.
It's a load, dude.
It's not a load, but
you got the best shot because you got that first hit.
It's like it couldn't be anything else. I mean, but it's like white. Now I start to freak the fuck out. I get like hot water, boiling hot water. I try to put it on the sweatshirt. I walk outside. I go in the backyard.
I love it. I like being choked and spanked, smacked around.
I tried to get the hose to work. That didn't work.
You ever think of taking it off?
So what happened was, finally, in the backyard, I just go and I take the sweatshirt off and I throw it in the garbage can.
Bobby.
I go back in the bathroom and I start to check everything. Like I check my hair. I check my face.
There had to be some jizz in that hair.
My inner ear.
Yeah, like a murderer looking for blood.
Thank God it didn't hit me in the face because I wouldn't be here right now.
Oh, I'm a dirty fucking slut today.
Where'd you get that tattoo?
What do you want to do with your life?
Good job.
Let's just get it down your face. Get her up on there.
When I listen to Mountain Stream, I want to get down on all fours and forget all my education.
And when I make sure everything's clean, I go back out, and the Rastafarian guy's waiting for me. He goes, get out of here, right? What are you talking about? Did you threaten to shoot a guy? I go, a guy fucking jizzed on my sweatshirt. I go, what the fuck would you do? And he goes, get out of here right now. There are definitely guns in this house. Get out of here right now. So I get in my car. I drive to the hospital. I drive to St. Joe's in Burbank because I'm palpitating. I don't know what's going on. But I'm afraid to check in. I sit in my car the whole night and fall asleep. I get up at about 6 a.m. And I drive home. And the kicker is I sleep all day. I get up and I don't know what's going on. I'm talking to my buddy back in New York. And my buddy goes, he says, man, I had a really shitty weekend. And I felt like going, really? I got jizzed on. What are you doing?
All right, there's Artie's revelation. He had cum on his chest. Go ahead, Gary.
None of our contestants had that one.
None of them got that right.
Both Chads had Benji, and Mike, I think, had me. But right. Nobody had Artie.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody in this room had Artie.
So, these are some revelations. Let's just check in with the audience.
Don't do drugs, guys.
Say what do you think, Robin? Artie accepting a load on his chest.
Good story.
Good story, but not gay.
It's not the best. I thought that with the advertising, I thought it was going to be
It was exaggerated. It should have been a better story.
Right. And I think, as you've had a load on your chest, that's not what
I think he's had a full load on his chest, and he made up all the other stuff.
Why would I bring it up?
Jessica Hahn, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Homo.
Right.
When you're carrying drugs across the border, the idea is to remain calm. The way I do it is to think of something pleasant. A fun party, moment of triumph, sexual encounter. I actually project myself to that place. A little transcendental meditation, if you will. The trick is to imagine every little detail. Anything to keep your mind off the fact that you're going to jail for a very long time if they find the 15 kilos of blow in your suitcases.
Passport, please. Nice flight?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Thanks.
On vacation?
Yes.
On vacation for only one day?
Oh, yeah. My brother's wedding. It was a nice ceremony and everything. It was good.
Open your bag, please.
Sure.
Matter of fact, ask me anything at all. You could even ask me to come along. I'll show you the sights, the hazards. What do you think?
I think you're idle too fast. San Francisco, huh? But you were born here, right?
How'd you know I was born here?
Just now in the store. Someone said, I've known George Malley all my life. And if he said he saw a UFO, he saw one.
I didn't say that.
You saw one?
But I didn't say what I saw.
What did it look like?
What could have been?
Ein Wunsch, ich spiele jetzt einen Blues. Blues ist immer etwas Trauriges. Und ich habe diesen Blues geschrieben, als es mir sehr schlecht ging. Ich dachte, ich müsste sterben. Meine Geburtsurkunde war abgelaufen. Und ich wollte Selbstmord begehen. Und stand im 13. Stockwerk eines Hauses und wollte mich hinunterstürzen vom Sims.
His name is Seven. And you know Seven, Devin, Devin Seven.
Don't even get me started, but all right.
All right, well, whatever. I was supposed to send you this clip for us to talk about, but fucking the mail server won't let me send it because they claim it's too big. So I don't know how to get you this movie clip. But Seven, he runs a website. It's an interracial website. And he's going to be probably coming on the show sometime in May. And he's got this girl named Kiki on the website. The girl's 19 years old. She has the biggest natural breasts I think I've ever seen. Like, they're just like, the only thing that comes to mind is just silly big tits. But they're fucking nice. Like, there's nothing I wouldn't do, like, motorboat kind of deal.
Harder.
Wait, George, what in the hell is going on? What?
Look, you know, I don't know, Doc. I really don't. Just lately I've been seeing things so clearly, you know. I understand right away. I concentrate. And books, I can't stop feeding myself. I read two, three books a day. Imagine, I can't stop, and I can't sleep, you know, ever since the...
I gotta go.
Get back to work.
Ever since the sighting.
Roger, it was a damn light.
And a boom.
Now, did you hear it?
No. Anybody? About 9 days ago, right outside here? Was that 12 o'clock, George?
George, come in for a physical, okay?
George? 2 or 3 books a day?
At least.
About what?
About everything. You know, all the things I've wanted to know about and learn.
Like what?
Well, you tell me, Raj. I mean, what have you always wanted to know about and learn? Think about it.
Again, that's another way of looking at magic.
All of these things that I've mentioned so far are components of, but minor components of what I really want to talk about, which is the practice of magic. Magic as ritual, the science and theory of magic, the practice of magic, and all religions have some kind of magical practice. And most importantly, the relationship of magic and spirituality. To me, those are the key issues of what I study. But as I said, it's very tricky when you talk about magic. And sometimes when you tell people you can do magic, then the first thing they want you to do is a magical trick. Mm-hmm. Okay? And while magic in religion and spirituality uses tricks to get us into altered states of consciousness, first of all, you have a sacred space. Now, when you go to a church, the sacred space has already been created. And since people worship there regularly, the energy is there.
What? Oh, no. No, you were there, weren't you? Oh, no. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, no, I'm laughing, but I don't mean it. Did you hate me? You must have hated me. Have you been hating me all this time? You have.
No.
Yes,
no,
you have.
No.
Oh, but you can't hate me now, right?
I don't hate you, all right? Come on, it's no big deal, all right? I flew all the way over there, you blew the thing off, and my life's been a big nosedive since then, but, I mean, it's not a problem.
No, you can't
say
that. Oh, I can't believe it. You must have been so angry with me. I'm so sorry. I really wanted to be there more than anything in the world, I swear.
You create a sacred space, essentially, so that you can tune out the outside world and get in touch with the inner world. Mm-hmm. And in the inner world, all kinds of things can happen that can't happen as easily in the outer world. So part of the process of magic is creating a sacred space.
You can't be angry now. My grandmother, I mean...
No, I know. I honestly thought that something like that might have happened.
Expecting you, Mildred, obviously.
John Alton is really one of the preeminent film noir cinematographers.
With Alton and the people in film noir, is they were not afraid of the dark. And in fact, they were willing to sketch things just very, very, very slightly to see how you can use dark, not as negative space, but as the most important element in the scene. We all have been influenced by that in terms of what's important are the lights that you don't turn on. Go!
Alton did one picture particularly that I feel is very influential called The Big Combo, which... is a very simple, inelegant film that is somewhat brutal in a way, but which incorporates these very sparse lighting elements and graphic elements so that it is very much black and white. There's very little gray in that movie. You can take almost any sequence, and certainly the final sequence in the Big Combo, which has as a single light source, a searchlight going around this dockside, and ends with a gunfight taking place against that, and the final shot is a silhouette, you know, walking out into sort of a gray dawn. I mean, very stark imagery.
This vital question, said the astrozoologists with mounting authority, would not be answered until a larger and more powerful gantry was constructed for a deep space vessel. In the meantime, they could only speculate about the revealed cosmos. There was, for example, the theory that R2ing had come from nowhere and would continue at a uniform crawl or steady gait into nowhere for all time. This theory was popular among academics. An alternative, favored by those of a religious persuasion, was that R2ing was crawling from the birthplace to the time of mating, as were all the stars in the sky, which were obviously also carried by giant turtles. When they arrived, they would briefly and passionately mate for the first and only time, and from that fiery union, new turtles would be born to carry a new pattern of worlds.
Physics makes me want to slur my words and speak backwards. Take much brain power, but without acetylcholine, it wouldn't happen. Heat-sensitive nerve endings start to produce acetylcholine, which sends signals to more than 2 million sweat glands embedded in the skin, and gradually, you'll start to sweat. When the system works, it's a good way of cooling down, but if it works too well, you're left with a problem.
What are we doing today? We're doing both
the left hand
and both axillae. Right, okay.
Dr. Nick Lowe treats people with serious sweat problems at the Cranley Clinic in London.
McDonald's
got it. It looks like something.
Yeah.
Maybe to hide it.
I guess I don't need this anymore.
It's a good thing you brought that.
Yeah. Yep. It's a really good thing I brought the headband. Who would have known?
Okay, Mike's gonna need beer later. That sounded as loud as I can scream if I could stare.
Yep.
Witness that.
Yes, I did.